It started with one body, then two, then four. By the time police realized what they had stumbled on, the wind-swept coastline of Gilgo Beach, Long Island, had become a mass graveyard for missing women no one seemed to notice were gone. The victims were sex workers, many advertised on Craigslist, and most of them had vanished without major investigations. But in December 2010, a routine search for a missing escort named Shannon Gilbert uncovered something else entirely. Wrapped in burlap, left to rot just feet from a millionaire's vacation home. This wasn't just a serial killer. It was a system failure. For over a decade, the case languished. Unsolved, unspoken, and overshadowed by scandal within the Suffolk County Police Department. Anonymous tips, a disgraced police chief, and a community that began to wonder if the killer was someone they'd already shaken hands with. Then, in 2023, after years of silence, a name finally emerged. A man was arrested. But was he the only one? Because behind every shallow grave was a deeper truth about class, sex, corruption, and the women society refused to protect. So if you think you've heard it all, you haven't. Hit follow on your favourite platform and leave us a comment, because the next story might just change the way you see everything. Don't miss a single twisted turn. Chapter 1. Bodies in the Sand. December 11th, 2010. Gilgo Beach, Long Island. The air was sharp with salt and cold. Suffolk County Police Officer John Mallier and his cadaver dog were combing the edge of Ocean Parkway, searching not for a killer, but for a missing escort named Shannon Gilbert, last seen running through a gated Oak Beach community months earlier, screaming, "They're trying to kill me!" The search team wasn't expecting to find her that morning. But what they uncovered was something else, entirely. A burlap sack, the remains of a young woman. Not Shannon. Someone else. 3 days later, another body. And another. And another. Four victims in total, later identified as Melissa Barthelemy, Megan Waterman, Amber Lynn Costello, and Maureen Brainard Barnes. All were sex workers. All had been missing for months. Some, for years. All had been strangled and discarded like garbage. None of them were Shannon. And what had started as a missing persons investigation suddenly exploded into one of the most disturbing serial murder cases in modern American history. The vanishing of Shannon Gilbert. Shannon Gilbert's final night was chaotic, frantic, and filled with red flags. On May 1st, 2010, she arrived in Oak Beach with her driver, Michael Puck, to meet a client named Joseph Brewer. She'd advertised her services online, just like the others. But something went wrong. At around 4:51 a.m., Shannon called 911. The call lasted 23 minutes, during which she repeatedly told the dispatcher, "They're trying to kill me." Her cries were incoherent, but her fear was chilling. She ran from Brewer's home, pounding on doors, screaming for help. Multiple neighbors later told police she looked terrified, disoriented. And then she vanished. Puck told police he tried to find her but couldn't. Brewer claimed he didn't know what set her off. Police chalked it up to a drug-induced panic. But her family, especially her mother, Marie Gilbert, never believed that. And when the bodies began surfacing months later, buried in the very area where Shannon disappeared, Marie grew louder. "This isn't coincidence," she said in interviews. "This is a killer hunting women, and my daughter was one of them." But the Suffolk County Police didn't treat Shannon as a murder victim. They treated her as a footnote. Burlap and patterns. The four women found along Gilgo Beach weren't just dumped. They were positioned. All had been wrapped in burlap sacks, an unusual detail that immediately suggested ritual or consistency, hallmarks of a serial killer. All were petite brunettes in their 20s. All had advertised services on Craigslist or similar sites. All disappeared after meeting clients, and all their cell phones had been used after their deaths, calling family members, taunting sisters, mocking victims' mothers. In one case, a victim's sister answered and heard a cold male voice say, "You're a whore, just like your sister." It was personal, calculated, sadistic. The killer didn't just want to destroy their bodies, he wanted to haunt their families. A corrupt department. By early 2011, the case should have been national news. But inside the Suffolk County Police Department, something else was brewing. The then Chief of Police, James Burke, was a rising star. Charismatic, feared, and untouchable. But he had secrets. In 2012, Burke viciously assaulted a suspect in custody, a man who had stolen his duffel bag, which allegedly contained sex toys, pornography, and steroids. The case was buried, internal whistleblowers silenced. Then came the federal investigation. By 2015, Burke was arrested and sentenced to 46 months in prison. But what caught investigators' attention wasn't just the assault, it was why he had obstructed justice. Many began to ask, did Burke have connections to the sex industry? Was he protecting clients? Or worse, was he afraid the killer was someone he knew? During Burke's tenure, FBI access to the Lisk investigation was blocked, and for years, the case stagnated. More bodies, more questions. As investigators expanded the search area, six more sets of remains were uncovered, between Gilgo Beach and nearby Jones Beach. Some were only partial remains. Legs found in one location. Skulls miles away. Some victims were transgender. One was a toddler. A few were linked to cases from the 1990s. None of them were officially tied to the original four. The media dubbed the killer Lisk, Long Island serial killer, but internally, law enforcement began distinguishing between two categories. The Gilgo Four, believed to be the work of one killer with signature MO, burlap, phone taunts, organized disposal. The others, possibly the work of different perpetrators or copycats, dumped in the same remote area. The possibility of multiple killers using Long Island's desolate beachfront as a dumping ground became more plausible, but the public didn't know that. Because by 2016, the case had gone quiet. No press conferences, no leads. Shannon Gilbert's body was found in December 2011, deep in the marsh. Authorities said she had drowned, her shoes found far from her body, her jeans pulled down. But Mari Gilbert refused that conclusion. She demanded a second autopsy. The results? Possible strangulation. But it wasn't conclusive. Shannon's death remained an open question. In 2016, tragedy struck again. Mari Gilbert was murdered by another of her daughters, Sarah, in a psychotic episode. The woman who had kept the case in headlines for years was gone, and with her went the pressure on police. An unlikely break by 2020, the world had changed, but the case had not. That year, Suffolk County Police released a photograph of a belt found at one of the crime scenes, marked with two letters, WH or HM. They didn't say why they released it. Some suspected it was a distraction. Others believed it was real movement. Then, in 2022, something shifted. A newly formed task force, free from Burke-era corruption, began reviewing cell phone data, location pings, and old witness statements with modern software. They focused on the Gilgo Four. Soon, a name emerged. Rex Hoyerman. Who is Rex Hoyerman? He was a 59-year-old architect, lived in Massapequa Park, just miles from Gilgo Beach. Married, two kids, worked in Manhattan. Colleagues described him as awkward, cold, extremely private, but not violent. Yet his cell phone pinged near the victim's last known locations. His burner phones were used to arrange meetings with escorts. He had Google searches that included Why hasn't the Long Island serial killer been caught? How to store a dead body. Best ways to hide a body without smell. DNA from a pizza crust he discarded. Matched hair found on the burlap used to wrap Megan Waterman. Surveillance followed. Search warrants executed. And in July 2023, Hoyerman was arrested and charged with 3 counts of murder in the deaths of Megan Waterman, Amber Costello, and Melissa Barthelemy. He remained a suspect in Maureen's death. His arrest shocked Long Island. A respected suburban family man, accused of hunting and killing women, then going home to his kids. But was he the only one? That's the question no one can answer. Hoyerman was only charged in connection with 3 victims. Not Shannon, not the toddler, not the transgender victims, not the severed torsos or remains from the 90s. And investigators still haven't definitively stated whether Lisk is one person or a dumping ground used by many. Hoyerman pleaded not guilty. His wife filed for divorce days later. His home was excavated, computers seized. But no confessions, no statements, no visible remorse. Was he Lisk, or was he one of several predators who operated in plain sight? Either way, the silence of Suffolk County for over a decade had cost lives and left dozens of families without answers. Chapter 2. Secrets of the Hugh, Beach House, July 14, 2023, Massapequa Park, Long Island. As news helicopters hovered overhead and neighbours stared from behind curtains, a quiet, tree-lined suburban street became the epicentre of one of America's most disturbing cold cases. After more than a decade of false starts, denials, and dead ends, Suffolk County Police and FBI agents surrounded the modest home of Rex Hoyerman, the man now accused of being the Long Island serial killer. Inside, they found what prosecutors would later describe as a vault of depravity. Guns, more than 200 of them, surveillance cameras, fake IDs, a soundproofed room in the basement, dozens of hard drives, hundreds of internet searches about serial killers, torture, rape, body disposal. Hoyerman had lived there for years, undetected. By day, he was a professional. By night, something else entirely. But as the evidence piled up, so did the questions. Because the deeper investigators dug, the more they realized this wasn't just about Rex, it was about a system that allowed him to hide for years. The Craigslist pipeline. The internet had changed the sex trade. By the early 2000s, websites like Craigslist and Backpage had become popular platforms for independent escorts. These digital classifieds were supposed to offer freedom, privacy, and control. But they also became hunting grounds. Hoyerman allegedly used burner phones, cheap, untraceable devices, to contact women advertising services. He used different names, rented cars, created false identities. He would sometimes taunt victims' families after their deaths, calling them from crowded Manhattan locations so police couldn't triangulate his position. Melissa Barthelemy's younger sister received multiple calls after her disappearance. The voice was deep, calm, cruel. He'd ask, "Do you know what your sister's last words were?" Then he'd hang up. The wife, the children, the double-life Hoyerman's wife, Arthur Ellerup, was out of town during the periods when the Gilgo Four were believed to have been killed. So were his kids. Prosecutors believe he waited until his family left, then hunted. After his arrest, Asa filed for divorce. But she also became an unwitting source of information. She told police she had no idea what her husband was doing, that his rage, his sexual secrets, his obsessions were hidden behind a mask of control. But was that believable? Court documents revealed Hoyerman kept trophies from his victims, hair, pictures, even some burner phones remained inside the house. His daughter, reportedly told investigators she was unaware of the items, but that her father had always been weird, distant, and prone to fits of fury over minor things. Lost tools, unwashed dishes, forgotten appointments. Behind his architect's office in Midtown Manhattan, co-workers noticed similar traits. Rex was obsessive about order, but emotionally flat. Not friendly, not cruel, just vacant. It was a silence that now reads as eerie. Digital necrophilia. One of the most disturbing elements of the case came not from what Heuermann did in real life, but what he searched. Investigators found thousands of queries that revealed a fascination with torture, snuff films, real rape cases, and, most disturbingly, child pornography. These searches spanned years. He wasn't just interested in the Gilgo murders. He was obsessed with serial killers like BTK, Joel Rifkin, and Ted Bundy. But unlike many who spiral into online fantasies, Heuermann allegedly acted on his urges. He had the money, the time, the access, and a law enforcement system that, for years, looked the other way. The marsh that hid everything. Gilgo Beach isn't a typical New York crime scene. It's not urban, it's not industrial, it's isolated. Ocean Parkway is a long stretch of road flanked by brush and marshland. In some areas, you can stand on the shoulder and hear nothing but wind. It's the perfect place to hide something, or someone. That's what made it the killer's ideal dump site. Each victim was found a few hundred feet off the road, just out of sight, buried beneath thin layers of sand and vegetation, wrapped in burlap, which preserved their remains just enough for investigators to recover DNA years later. It also suggests familiarity. Whoever was doing this knew the terrain, knew when the area was deserted, knew how far to go, not too deep, not too close. And that's why the theory of multiple killers never fully died. Because the MO changed. The Gilgo Four were all posed similarly, but other victims were dismembered. Some were decapitated. One had tattoos removed post-mortem. That kind of brutality suggests rage. Different from the methodical disposal used for Megan, Amber, Melissa, and Maureen. So who killed the others? And why did Suffolk County PD ignore those possibilities for so long? A pattern of indifference. For years, families of the victims accused Suffolk County Police of not caring because the women were sex workers. Melissa's mother once told reporters, "If my daughter had gone missing wearing a nurse's uniform, she'd be on every billboard." When Shannon Gilbert vanished, the initial investigation was slow. Police suggested she was mentally ill, that she had wandered into the marsh and drowned. They resisted labeling her a victim, even after it was revealed she had begged for help in her 911 call. Public pressure mounted. In 2020, Suffolk Police released the full 911 call audio. It was damning. Shannon sounded terrified. She said she was being followed. She screamed. Then, silence. Years later, an independent medical examiner said her death was consistent with strangulation, not drowning. But to this day, her case remains classified as undetermined. It was a pattern. Dismiss the victims, protect the power structure, hope it all goes away. But it didn't. The Netflix effect. In 2023, just months after Heuermann's arrest, Netflix released Lost Girls, a dramatization of Mary Gilbert's fight to find Shannon. Though filmed earlier, its release reignited interest in the case and drove a new wave of tips to the task force. The series focused not on the killer, but on the systemic failures that allowed him to operate. It painted a damning portrait of law enforcement apathy, media complicity, and the invisibility of marginalized women. And it worked. Following the series, the Suffolk County tip line saw a 300% increase in public engagement. Names were submitted, locations, patterns. The message was clear. The public was watching now. Where are they now? The break in the case. Rex Hoyerman is currently in custody, awaiting trial. He has pleaded not guilty. His legal team insists the evidence is circumstantial, that DNA contamination is possible, and that the timeline is open to interpretation. But prosecutors are confident. They've signalled more charges may be coming. New forensic technologies, including genetic genealogy, are being applied to older remains found along Gilgo Beach, meaning more victims may soon be linked to him. The task force created to handle the Lisk case has now expanded to include federal analysts, digital forensics experts, and outside psychologists. Their goal? To re-examine every body, every phone, and every unsolved case from the past 25 years along Long Island. Some believe Hoyerman is just the beginning. As of this writing, Maureen Brainerd Barnes's case remains officially open. The remains of Jane Doe No. 3, Peaches, and the unidentified toddler are under renewed investigation. Shannon Gilbert's death is still classified as accidental, despite public and family outcry. Murray Gilbert didn't live to see the arrest, but her legacy reshaped the case. Her relentless activism forced police to acknowledge what they wanted to bury. A larger story than one killer. What makes the Lisk case different isn't just the brutality of the crimes, it's the cultural rot it exposed. The murders weren't hidden in the dark, they were hidden in plain sight. Enabled by wealth, technology, and a system that treated certain lives as disposable. In the years the killer operated, the police department was corrupted. Victims' families were ignored, and the media painted the women as cautionary tales, not as humans. It took public outrage, grassroots activism, and eventually a streaming service to reawaken a case the system had long abandoned. So, what comes next? More charges are likely, more secrets may be revealed, and more families may finally get answers. But even if Rex Hoyerman is convicted, the system that allowed him to exist still lingers, and the beachfront that became a graveyard remains a scar on the American psyche, a place where silence was louder than screams. The Lisk case is about more than a man. It's about what happens when a community forgets to care, and how long it takes for justice to dig through the sand.